would have you to know that it's indeed an honor to be your speaker in this series of gospel meetings. I certainly appreciate the invitation to be here. Some of you I have known for many, many years. Some of you I have met for the first time. And hopefully we'll get to know one another much better as I'm here for these few days. Certainly glad to see each one out tonight who has put forth the effort on this beautiful afternoon to come and be with us, that we might worship the great God of heaven. For those who obey the voice of God, we find that He delivers them and us in troubled times. Today's world is troubled in so many ways, and that's not ever going to change. Both internationally, nationally, and on a local level, it's nice to know that we as Christians have God on our side. There are many from the pages of the Bible that have learned that. And you and I today we're going to talk about that this evening, about how God takes care of us in problem times and trouble times. We're going to study that as we read, beginning with the book of Psalms, chapter 34. We're going to read verses 17 through 19 as our text. As the psalmist wrote, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Before we study, let's talk to the Father. In the book of Ezekiel, chapters 8 and 9, we find here where God called men from the city, and he called these executioners, and he told them as they were to show up, and there happened to be six of them. God doesn't need that many, but there were six that showed up this day in this vision that Ezekiel had, and he told them to bring a destroying weapon with them. And he told one of them that he was to bring an ink horn, that is literally a bottle of ink. And that these men were to be sent through the city of Jerusalem. And those men with the bottle of ink, he was to go through the city of Jerusalem and he was to mark on the forehead all of those who were concerned about the abominations that were going on within the city. And as you read that story, you find that Ezekiel is one of my favorite characters, by the way, in the way that he wrote things that God would have us to know. As God told these executioners that they were to go to the city of Jerusalem, in chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, "And to the others he said, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly the old and the young, both maids and children, and little children, and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And you began at my sanctuary." Then he began at the ancient men which were before the house of God. God needed to clean house of those people because they were completely unconcerned about sin and ungodliness. It just does not seem to bother them. There are folks today in this old world that sin and ungodliness do not bother them. God wanted those folks to know in the city of Jerusalem that these executioners were going to come through there. This man, the one who had the ink bottle, went through and he marked on the foreheads of everyone who was concerned about those abominations of the city. And he told those executioners when they went through that city that they were not to lay a hand on one of those people, that only those people who had the mark are the ones who were going to live that day. My friends, I want you to know God is teaching us a lesson here. You and I are to be a holy people. We are to be a godly people. We are to stand upon a thus saith the Lord in everything that we say and do. God demands that of us in every way. When God sent these men through this city and they were to take care of that business of His, I want you to notice there, and you can read there in verse 6, that he said, when you go through there and you begin your destruction, you start with my sanctuary. You start in my house. You start in the temple today. God would say you start in the church. And you do away with all who are not concerned about the abominations that go on in the city. That's very serious, friends. There were some of those folks in the city who were in his very sanctuary that he said, they're in my house. They're the ancient men. They're the ones who have been around for a long time. They should know better. But they did their things anyway. And they walked their path anyway. And they did what they wanted to do anyway, regardless of what God says, my friends, today. You and I, again, are to be a very holy people. We are to be a righteous people. God demands that, just like he demanded that out of his folks back in that day and time. And when Ezekiel saw this vision that God had given him, and it was very serious, and God was sure that through the Holy Spirit that this got placed within the pages of the Bible so that you and I can understand those things. So if God begins to clean house with those who are in his own house, and then he goes out from there. And if there are those within his house who cannot remain faithful to him, what is the world like today, even in that day and today? The evils of this world are no different today than they were then. I want you to know today that murder is completely out of control in this nation. There is so much of it that's going on, and it's a terrible thing for that to happen. We know that that is a sin. Drugs and alcohol, pornography, lying, cheating, stealing, worshiping false gods. All of those things are a sin in the eyes of the Almighty God, and he's given us scriptures to teach us that we cannot be involved in any of those things. Yet there are those today who are caught up in their evil ways. Now our nation has removed prayer out of school and did that many, many years ago. They have taken devotions out of the school. God's name and his influence has been removed from almost everything that we can know and understand. Now in this day and time, they're forcing upon society same-sex marriages and such things. They've taken In God We Trust off of most of our money, and eventually, no doubt, the rest of it will be gone. Now they're trying to tell you, I put so much gun control on the people who like to own weapons of some kind for whatever they use them for. They're trying to take that away from us, and they continue to move forward with such things. People are influenced with the wickedness of Hollywood today in such a way that it's creating great problems in our nation. The internet, nudity, antichrist of our nation is no different now than it has been to all of the other nations that God brought the hammer down on over the years. And no doubt it would happen to our very own nation should it not improve and things be better for us. God destroys nations because folks are not concerned about abomination anymore. They're not concerned about sin anymore. My friends, the folks who are concerned tonight are those of you who stand sitting under the sound of my voice. We are interested in doing the right thing for God. We should be interested in doing the right thing for our communities wherein we live. We need to know and understand today, my friends, that we are God's voice to the world in this area. What are you doing to spread the gospel today? What are you doing to do your part today? Would you get the ink spot today on your head? Would you be one of the righteous? Would you be one of those who are concerned today? If you lived in Ezekiel's world today, and would you get that mark on your head, or would you be one which God said, have no pity? God kept his promise to deliver those folks who were concerned, because God delivers his people, those who love him and those who follow his bidding and his will. Next, let me talk to you about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's certainly a familiar story in the book of Genesis, chapters 18 and 19. Those two very shameful cities were so wicked. God looked down upon them, and he sent angels over there to look at those cities. And in chapter 18, in verse 20, and he said, The Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, because their sin is so grievous, is very grievous. Their sin was the sin of homosexuality. They were so engrossed in that sin that any man who entered that city, they literally attacked him. And these two angels came there that night. They walked into the gates of the city in the daylight, and as Lot sat there, he invited them over to his home. And the men of that city, they came around that night, and they began to beat on his doors, and they began to call out to him. And they wanted those men to come out to them. And as they were there in Genesis chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, he said, but before they lay down, that is, before they went to bed that night, that is, those two angels who had come into a lot had invited to his house, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, he says, compassed the house round about, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, from all over those cities. And they called out unto Lot, and they said to him, where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out, so that we might know them. Lot heard those people knocking on the door. He heard what was going on. He knew what was going on. And he stood in the doorway. He even told them, he says, I have daughters, I'll send them out to you, and you do what you will with them, but do not bother these men who are come under the safety of my roof this night. Lot stood in the doorway. Verse 7, he says, don't do this wickedness. To show you how evil those people were. And I want to tell you something, folks. There's evil people in this whole world today, just exactly like this. There are so many stories about people who are just wicked and evil and all the things that they get into and the things that they get involved in. And Lot was the one man of God who was standing here in this city. And he was trying to keep them from doing this evil. And they said, stand back, Lot, or we will deal worse with you than we're going to deal with them. These people were evil to the core. And it didn't bother them at all. And God could see all of this as God sees everything else. He could see all of this. And so the angels, as the time as it went, these men had to be blinded. They were kind of confused and they were trying to get it. But you know, after the angel blinded them, they still were trying to get to the door of that house. They didn't have one lick of sense in their head. People today want to do wickedness, and they're not going to let you or anybody else stand in their way. My friend, you and I have to be a light. We have to be a pillar in our communities. We have to let our light so shine before men that they can see our good works. God said so. Lot tried his best to save those men that night. God didn't need his help to do that. He used him like he does people and has for a long, long time. And as it turned out, those angels were there and they said, look, Lot, God sent us here to destroy these cities. And here's our job. You need to get out of here and you need to take your family with you. Well, his son-in-laws kind of made fun of him. Sons-in-laws, they kind of made fun of him. They didn't want to leave. They didn't believe this stuff. You see, that's the way people are today. As Brother Dennis and I talked a little coming over here this afternoon, people do not want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ anymore. You can turn to this scripture and you can teach them about the faith of God. You can teach them about baptism. You can teach them about the church all you want to. But they want to hear what they want to hear, and what they have heard is what they want, and where they go to church is what they want to do. It is very hard to get someone to listen to the gospel and actually obey it in this day and time. It's very difficult. That's a shame, my friend. That's the same situation that was going on there in that city that day, in the city of Sodom, that God sent those angels there to destroy. And they had a job to do. God didn't need to send two of them. He could have sent one of them. Now, I don't know who those angels were. The Bible never told us. But I'm telling you, they had the destructive power of God within their grasp. God delivered Lot and his wife and his two daughters. The way he did it, those angels literally had to pick them up and carry them out of town because they didn't want to leave. I don't know if they didn't believe that God really wasn't going to destroy their hometown or not. They didn't want to leave. People don't want to hear God today. Oh, my friends, what a shame. People don't want to hear God today. You can't go out there on this street and talk God to people. They don't want to hear that. I want to tell you something. Those angels believed. They knew what they had to do. They were here on a mission. One of these days, my friend, God said there's coming a day when all this is going to be over. 2 Peter chapter 3 very clearly points it out. This old world is going to be destroyed with a flaming fire. It's going to be destroyed. And those angels are going to take care of that for God. Just like those angels will sit here to the city of Sodom, cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they were on their way out of the city, those four people, those angels told them, you get out of here. You head to those hills over there and do not look back. Now, you know, that was a pretty simple statement, wasn't it? I don't know what Lot's wife left back over there that she was looking at, but she couldn't stand it. And she didn't pay attention to that one statement that angel told her. That one statement that angel told her. And so God delivered three people out of that city, and not four, because one of them refused to listen. And Lot's wife, because she looked back, was turned into a pillar of salt. God didn't lead her to safety that day. You don't think God's serious, friends? You don't think God's serious with the message that He gives us? I'm here to tell you, God delivers people who will listen to Him. God delivers people who will read and study that book and know and understand the things that are written there. God does exactly what He tells you He will do. And if He says He's going to destroy a city, He's going to do that. If He said He's going to destroy this nation, I can guarantee you God is going to do that one of these days. The world. If He's going to destroy the world by fire, as He said, I can guarantee you that's going to happen. God will deliver, was willing to deliver them from harm that day and from that destruction, because God delivers His people and He takes care of them even when things don't look bad. You know, sometimes in life, God doesn't take control of every little aspect of our lives. Now, God may have something planned for us, and He works life out so that that plan will take place. And then He lets life happen pretty much. But when it comes time for that particular thing to happen that God is directing us into, I assure you, you can't change it, and I can't change it. Because God directs us to certain things. Number three. Noah and the flood. How often have we heard that story about Noah and about that great flood that took place back over in the book of Genesis, beginning with chapter 6, and all the things that went around that? God looked down into this old earth again, and there was so much wickedness, and people were so evil. And people were turning away from God right and left. And people who were being born into the world were not getting taught anything about Christianity. Do you know that since prayer and devotional reading has been taken out of our school system, that people over the years now, and that happened back in the 1960s, I remember when those things happened, some of you do. When that happened, from then on, our nation has become weaker and weaker spiritually. There was a time, back when I was a really young man, and I grew up under the preaching of old E.H. Miller, if any of you ever knew him. There was times when our building would hold over 200 people and you couldn't get in the door of that place. And when you would have gospel meetings there, there were people from different religions who would come and visit our gospel meetings because we had a preacher there. And they wanted to hear the gospel. And often I've heard others talk about the very same thing, that when a preacher came to town and they had a gospel meeting, people just came out to hear the gospel preached because they wanted to hear that sort of thing. Now, you can hardly get many of the church members to come to a gospel meeting, much less your neighborhood folks. Why? Because the influence of God is being removed from our nation. You want to know who's doing that? The government? No, the devil. The devil! The devil is mean, and he wants your soul, friend. He wants our soul. He wants us to not listen to God. He doesn't want devotion in the school. He doesn't want prayer in the schools. He doesn't want you to say a prayer at your ball games or whatever else it is that we go to. He doesn't want prayer anywhere because he wants the influence of God completely removed, and that's his job, and he's good at it. Oh, he's good at it, friends. He is so good at it. And he's mean. And he just makes people think, it's okay. It's not going to hurt anything if your kids don't get to pray today. It's destroying this nation, friends. the influence of Hollywood and all of those ungodly things that have stemmed from that are evil today. And the devil likes people to follow that, and he leads them down that road of destruction today, or this day, when God looked down upon the earth, and he saw that the wickedness of man, Genesis chapter 6, if you will, verses 5 through 7, God looked down and he saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and that it repented the Lord that he had made man upon the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God was tore up because he was going to have to do what he was about to have to do. He was about to have to destroy every human being on the face of this earth except for Noah and his family. Look around our community, friends. Look around this state. How many people are there in the Lord's church today? That's how many folks would be in that ark today. Where's all the rest of them going? He destroyed all of those folks back then. Destroyed every one of them in that flood. Because they wouldn't listen. Oh, Noah preached. He preached to them. Peter says he was a preacher of righteousness. And there's no doubt that he told them that there was a flood coming and this world is going to be destroyed. Oh, they wouldn't have it. Would not have it. Earth was corrupt and it was filled with violence like it is today. Have you seen the recent stories on the news about the genocide of certain parts of the world? They're trying to destroy Christianity altogether in those nations, and that's been going on for some time. What was the corruption in Noah's day? Altogether. You know, Jesus talked about that. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, and false witnesses and blasphemies." Then he says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 38 and 39, "For as in the days that were before the flood," what were they doing, Lord? They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. What didn't they know? Noah was preaching to them. They heard the preaching. They didn't want it. They would not accept it. That's what they didn't know. They didn't know the Lord because they would not listen to it. What's different today, friends? We can talk to people about the Lord. We can talk to them about the church. We can talk to them about salvation. They don't want to hear it. Do not want to hear it. Oh, what a shame. What a shame, friends. I want to tell you something. I've often wondered. I have a sermon on this, by the way. You won't get to hear it this time, I don't think. All of those folks, that day, never rained on the earth before. Never rained until this day. Noah and his family went into that ark because nobody else would follow him. Nobody else would follow God. And God closed them in. God closed the door of that ark. And as the rain began to fall and the fountains of the deep broke up and that water began to rise upon the earth and it flooded the valleys and then it began to come up on the hills and then it flooded the mountains and it got all the way up to the top of the mountain and there was one last mountain over here, friends. I wonder what happened to that last man that was standing on that mountain right there. On that last hill, and he saw that water rising. And that boat over yonder floating away. There was his ark, my friends. There was his way out. There was his way to God. And he had to sit there and die and watch that boat that God was delivering those people. And it was floating away. Where do you stand today with God, friends? Where do you stand? Would you be that person or would you be within the ark? Would you be one that God delivereth? Or you would be watching salvation float away. What about it? There are so many today, my friends, that salvation is getting away from them. They've heard the gospel. They've heard it time and again. But they simply don't want it. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was just and perfect in his generation, and the Bible says he walked with God. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us he was a preacher of righteousness, so we know that those people heard God. God had told Noah to make provisions for safety, and if Noah did that exactly like God told him to, then he would deliver him and his family, that they would not be destroyed in that flood. So they had certain things to do, didn't they? You remember the story? God said, Noah, you build an ark. There's no doubt in my mind. Noah never built an ark before. I don't know if he ever built a boat before. The Bible doesn't say. But he understood how to do it because God told him to. Now, he didn't tell him to go over yonder and don't use pine wood and don't use hardwood from over here and don't use this oak wood and don't use hickory wood. He told him to use gopher wood. He didn't have to specify anything else, did he? He said, use gopher wood. And if Noah had not done that exactly like God told him to, there's no doubt that boat would never have come off the ground. It would have sat right there and flooded with everything else. But he did what God told him to. Thank you, Noah. Because there's people today, just like us, who continue to do what God requires of us. Just as God requires it of us. And so you and I today, we have the reputation of being Christian, God-fearing people, because we listen to the Scriptures and we do exactly what God told us to do. Thank you, Lord, that you gave that to us. Thank you, Lord, that you died and you made that law binding on us and that we have something to stand upon religiously today. We have the gospel. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ today. And Noah and his family was delivered because God delivereth his people. Psalm chapter 57, let me move on. My last example to this evening would be Moses and Joshua. Here's a wonderful story. Here's two men that had traveled together for years. They had taken care of God's business. And Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, gave these wonderful words of encouragement. Chapter after chapter after chapter, he encouraged the children of Israel to live for God and obey His commands in every way. And he gave them these words of encouragement and that they were to prepare themselves to enter into the promised land. God had told them that they could go there. In verses 6, 7, and 8, he said, be strong. Deuteronomy 31, if you're following along, be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Fear not, God said, nor be afraid of them. Don't worry about going over there and taking over that land that I'm giving you. They wasn't fighting the battles anyway. God was fighting their battles because He was going to deliver them. He was fighting their battles. God will help you fight your battles today, friends. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Aren't you glad God said those words? Isn't that encouraging today? He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua, and he said unto them in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord thy God has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And verse 8, and the Lord, He is He that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, and He will not fail thee, neither will He forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Does that sound like He was trying to encourage those people? Yes, it did. You want to be encouraged by God today, my friend? You read and study the Scriptures, and you let God talk to you out of the Scriptures. And you find those words of encouragement, and you listen to them, that you might live strong and faithful unto God. And after Moses died. And God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. In other words, when you go over there and you begin to conquer that land, you're going to destroy all of those people just like I told you to do. Because I'm doing your battle. The Lord doth goeth before you. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. He said it again. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. You think God stands with us today? Oh, yes, my friend, He does. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, encouragement. from the words of our Lord Jesus, as the apostle wrote those things that Christ said when he was upon this earth. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God said it again. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Because God delivers his people, friend. He delivers his people from those evils of life. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. David said to Solomon, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither or nor forsake thee, until thou be finished with all the work that God has given you. God delivered Moses, he delivered Joshua, and he delivered his people, and he still does that today. In Psalms 34, verses 6, 7, and 8, the poor man cried. Remember the scripture we read earlier? The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his troubles. Why? Because he cried to God. There are those today, they want to go here, and they want to go there, and they want to try to get out from under those problems and troubles they have, and they never get on their knees and talk to the Father. We have to put him first. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them, he said in verse 7. The Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. The Lord delivers his people because he loves us and because we give our lives to him. You know, this evening I could talk to you about Moses and the children of Israel when it was time for them to cross the Red Sea. When it was time for them to leave that land of bondage and to start their trek toward the Holy Land, and how God delivered them out of a hand of a very powerful Egyptian army. This evening I could talk to you about Daniel, the prophet of God who was thrown over there in the lion's den, and those lions were mean, and they were not some, this was not some story of trickery that's told. There's a man of God who was faithful to God, who believed in God, who would not let evil stand in his way in worshiping God, as he got on his knees and he bowed down to the east and he worshiped God after he was told not to, but he continued to do it anyway. And when he was caught up with and they heard him doing that, those evil men went and ran and told the king and said, Daniel's doing something, you just signed a decree we can't do. And so they took him and the king didn't like it. But he had him thrown into that lion's den. What those evil folks didn't do, they knew what was supposed to happen to him. Those lions were supposed to attack him by the time he hit the ground. He should have been dead by the time his feet hit the ground in that arena. What they didn't know was God sent an angel over there already. And he delivered old Daniel. Because God takes care of his people. And all those wicked people, when the king found out that's what happened, all those wicked people who caused him to get sent over there, the king had them thrown in there with all of their families, and their bones would break ere they hit the ground. In other words, as soon as their feet landed down, those lions killed them, because that's what they were put in there to do. God took care of Daniel, didn't he? He delivered him that day. We could talk about that. I could talk to you about David and Goliath and how God used David to deliver his army that day. Can you see that the Lord will deliver his people today in troubled times? Never before in my life have I seen so many folks concerned about the direction that our nation is headed. But it's even as it was in the days of Noah, that things are still going that very same way. That mankind has no concern about God today. Oh, everybody you talk to, they want to have salvation, don't they? I never talked to anybody that told me, well, you know, I'd rather just go to hell than live a Christian life. Never heard that in my life. I've been preaching for almost 50 years, and I've never heard that in my life. Nobody wants to go to hell and lose their souls, but that's where they're headed, unfortunately. You know, I don't know what's going to happen to our nation, but I do know this. And I declare to you today that according to Bible history, that God takes care of his people in troubled times and he delivereth. He delivers us today. But you got to live for him. You got to belong to him in every way. You have to be his. And let me close with one scripture, a very favorite passage of scripture of mine. that David wrote a long, long time ago. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You've heard a portion of God's word this evening, my friends. The Bible teaches us as we hear the gospel that we are to believe that gospel, that we are to repent of our sins, confess the name of Christ before men that he might confess us before his Father which is in heaven, Matthew chapter 10, to be buried in a watery grave of baptism. And when we do that, the Bible teaches us that we're added to the church because we have been obedient to that gospel plan of salvation, that we now are saved because we have got to where the blood of, we have gotten to where the blood of Jesus Christ is. And now because of that, our sins can be washed away through baptism. Then at the very same time, you and I are added to the church. We become a newborn babe in Jesus Christ. We start our lives over, and we are completely holy and well at that time. No sin whatsoever. If we sin and go astray, repent of our sins, confess our faults one to another, and have the prayers of the faithful to be returned to the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. That's God's calling. I want to ask you something, friends. Where do you stand this evening? Where do you stand with God? If God were to come tonight, what would he find? Would you have the ink spot on your forehead? Or would you be one of those that he said, have no pity? I beg of you, my friends, get your life right with God while you have opportunity. Won't you do it tonight as we stand and sing the selected hymn?